Harper Bliss, author of Lesbian Fiction, and I'm her Mrs. Thank you for listening to our podcast where we try to talk about our journey in writing and publishing.
But we usually get sidetracked by television or our cat.
Meow.
Welcome to Harper Bliss and her Mrs. Hello everyone, this is episode 10 of
Harper Bliss
and her Mrs. And we're recording this on
Monday, 11th of June, 2018. We're
so,
a little late this,
yeah,
this week.
Yeah, we're recording it quite late. It's been quite a...
Too many birthday celebrations.
Yeah, an eventful week.
Celebrations. I'm putting this between quotation gaze.
So how did it go?
It was horrible. It was a truly horrible experience for me to turn 40, but I can't really explain it yet.
It wasn't just horrible for you, dear.
I know. It was horrible for you as well.
So much drama. Oh my God.
But I mean, I do realize I'm lucky in many ways, but it's got nothing to do with any of that. It's just my existential midlife crisis.
Yes. Yeah. There was a lot of stuff going on this week.
And I had terrible PMS.
Yes. So you can imagine.
It was a terrible coincidence.
Yeah. It could not have come at a worse time, to be honest. Anyway, there was some good news as well.
Pink Bean 7 is out in audio.
Yes.
And finished the first draft of my novella. No title yet, but yeah, actually I just came up with one. But we need to discuss it still.
To be announced at a later date.
Yeah.
And we're doing a second draft of the Gulf Romance.
We're slaving over it.
Yes. It needs a lot of work.
It's rough, huh?
It is very rough, I have to say. It's easier for me to do your second drafts than this.
Yeah.
This is much harder.
We should just go back to how things were before.
I know. I agree.
No, I mean, you have to push yourself out of your comfort zone to grow.
Well, this is definitely out of my comfort zone, I can tell you that.
But you will never be the same after.
No, probably not.
You will be forever changed.
I will be a better person.
Well,
maybe.
Maybe not, but it's not about your personality, it's about your writing.
Yeah, no, it's true.
You have acquired new skills. Right now you think you have, and you think it's all shit, but you know, it's not.
It's a learning experience.
Yeah.
Outside of all the writing and second drafting, there have been a lot of birthday celebrations, so it has affected a bit of the work schedule.
Oh, it was a very strange week.
Yes.
Definitely. Well, I took Thursday off because it was my birthday, and you did take me to the seaside.
Yes, we went to the seaside for a walk on the beach.
Yeah.
The Dutch seaside, not the Belgian seaside, because the
Belgian
seaside is so ugly.
It's really not
nice. There's a few nice spots, but most of it is built up and has these huge apartment buildings right on, you know, on the beach. It's really not pretty.
I know, they destroyed it like they do.
Whereas
everything in Belgium.
overly dramatic much. Whereas in Holland, there's a little bit of Holland just, you know, over the... It's the same distance to go there than to go to the Belgian seaside for us. And there they have kept the dunes, and there's a few pavilions right on the beach where you can have a bite to eat. But that's all there is on the beach. The rest is just beach and dunes. And then any construction is quite a bit back, a bit further back. So the actual beauty of the beach is not affected. And that was really great.
It's so much better. But of course, people can't have an apartment with sea view.
No,
but
of course not.
That's not my problem, really.
No, that's true, but I mean, it leaves the beach actually pretty for everyone, even the people who don't have an apartment.
It's so much better, but clearly in Belgium they chose the money. Anyway, this is not a discussion we should be having.
No, but it was a nice day, wasn't it?
That part of my day was really nice when we went to the coast.
Okay.
I really enjoyed that.
So it was not all horrible.
No.
Just wanted to point that out.
Yes, yeah, maybe that's important.
Yes.
Trying to send a positive message after all.
Yes. So, what are you starting on this week?
Well, yeah, no, I know in my notes it says I'm starting on Pink Bean 9, but I'm not because, I have a short story to write and I want to do it before I start Pink Bean 9. Plus, I'm not ready to start Pink Bean 9. I need to think about it a little bit more. Because, I mean, I have thought about it and I know, you know, well, it's going to be about Catherine. And, you know, I know who her love interest is going to be and all that. But I just need to, you know, set up a bit more and think about it a bit more and talk about it a bit more maybe with you.
Okay, so that'll be for maybe next week.
Yeah, I'm starting on it Monday next week.
Okay, that's great.
I'm going to write this short story first for Ilva.
So we have seen a few cool things on TV this week.
Oh, yeah.
We binge-watched season 2 of Marcella.
Oh,
it's only...
So many cliffhangers.
How many episodes? 8 episodes.
Yeah, it's very short. You can binge it in a day. Really?
Well, it took us 2 days.
A Sunday in?
But it's really great.
You can get it done. But, yeah, because the characters, they are just extremely unlikable, like all of them. I mean, who are you? But you still root for Marcella.
Yes, I mean, she's still likable. I mean, you feel for her, and you want to know what, you know, because there's stuff going on with her that you don't know.
No, that's true, but it's not like with the bridge where, you know, you really, you have so much sympathy for Soga. I didn't feel that here, but I could not stop watching it, so I've been trying to figure out why not, and it's like, you know, it's the cliffhangers. But then again, Safe had many cliffhangers as well, and that was just a much more horrible experience than watching Marcella.
But also Marcella, you know, the central mystery of the series, it was only when the baddie was revealed. I mean, we hadn't guessed who it was before, right?
No. There was a big, plenty of red herrings.
It was a big wow moment.
And a couple
of
lesbians.
Yes.
Even
had some lesbians.
It was a good, yeah.
Yeah, because you keep suspecting different people, and, you know, and then when it is revealed who it is, it was like, what?
Add some mystery.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I mean, I try to look at binge watching as not as a, you know, a waste of my time. It's valuable because try to figure out what makes you binge. And in this case, it was the mystery.
Yes.
Add some mystery, and just, it compels you to just, you know, go on and on until it's done. And then, but then you have the black hole. And then after Marcella, there was nothing to watch. And then I said, why is there nothing good to watch? You know, I mean, we have Netflix, we have Amazon, we have iTunes. And then, you know, I came to the conclusion that maybe it's not that there isn't enough. It's maybe that we watch too much.
I think maybe that's, yeah, that has something to do with it. But yeah, I don't know.
If anyone has any tips.
Yeah.
But it needs to be really good, because I refuse to watch shit TV shows anymore. Except for season 1 of Law & Order SVU, but that's my lunchtime nap show. But it's so horrible.
It's just to watch the first 5 minutes and then fall asleep.
Yeah, and have an image of Detective Benson. Because,
yes,
you know, that's not bad to fall asleep to.
So what we tried yesterday after we finished Marcella was this new show. There's only been 2 episodes, I think, and it's called Dietland.
I know, I'm so pissed off with Amazon, because it's on Amazon. And, you know, usually Amazon and Netflix, you can binge, but now they're doing, like, network
TV
model.
No, but it's not an Amazon show, it's an AMC show.
Ah.
It's not on TV. Oh, sorry. That was the cat. I don't know what happened.
The cat in the box.
So, yeah, no, it's an AMC show, which that you can then also watch on Amazon, but it's 1 episode a week, so that's why.
That's a bit
And it was
annoying.
Really, really good.
Yeah, it's really good.
It's like nothing else I've ever seen before, because it combines different elements. It's, you know, a bit dark comedy, but also a mystery, and I don't know, it's a like feminist revenge show.
Plus, the main character is, you know, like unlike any other main character you've ever seen in a TV show.
Definitely,
she's fat.
Yes, and then it has Juliana Margulies in a bit of a villainy role, and it's great.
Yeah, but I think we'll talk about it more after.
Yeah, once we've finished watching it, because we've only seen the first 2 episodes. But something else we've been enjoying immensely, because we've done a lot of driving recently, you know, with going to Normandy and going to the seaside and, you know,
see my family, because they all have their birthday now.
Yeah, everyone has their birthday in June in that family for some reason, so.
Well, my sister is my twin, so.
Yeah, that makes sense. But her
and
her two kids,
yeah.
And her husband, all have their birthdays within 2 weeks of each other, more or less.
That's
so
true. June is like this big month in my family.
So we've been in the car a lot, and in the car we listen to various things, not music so much, podcasts or audio.
Either Desert Island Discs. Oh my God, Kirsty.
Yes.
Every time a podcast starts, hello, this is Kirsty Young. It's like, oh.
Yeah,
that's not what we want to talk about.
No, we also listen to audiobooks, and the one we've been listening to recently is Mythos by Stephen Fry, and it's also read by Stephen Fry.
Oh, yeah.
And it's so great because
he's such a great narrator.
His voice is amazing, and the book is super interesting. It's a retelling of the of Greek mythology, but in a more contemporary way. So you learn something. I mean, this brings back a lot of stuff that I learned at school because I studied Latin and a bit of Greek culture as well. But it's very...
Oh, you're the smart one.
I realize how much I've forgotten when I listen to this book.
Well, when were you in school?
Yeah, a long time ago.
One cannot remember all of this for decades.
But it is very, it's very interesting because he also, you know, he also points out which words we still use today that are, you know, that have their roots in these Greek myths and in the names of the gods and, you know, all that stuff. So that's really interesting.
It's not Pandora's box, it's Pandora's jar.
Yes. And, you know, the god of death, Thanatos, is the one who then, on whose name the word euthanasia, for instance, is based, which, you know, I didn't know, and that kind of stuff. And Stephen Fry is just
such a compelling narrator. Is the kind of book that you would get much more out of when listening to it and reading it. I mean, I would never read it. I think it's probably also like 700 pages or something.
Yeah, it would probably be a bit boring.
But listening to it, especially with Stephen Fry's narration, it's a really wonderful experience.
Yeah, so if you have an Audible credit that you don't know what to do with, Mythos by Stephen Fry, we can really recommend it.
You get your money's worth because it's like it's really so long. Many hours. I think we've already listened to 10 hours and we're still like only 2/3 in.
So yeah, something like that.
It goes on and on. There are a lot of gods.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff in Greek mythology, but it's really great. So, and you we've had times where we were like reacting as if it was a fiction story that was being told, like a book, like you feel for the character and we really recommend it. So.
I finally finished a fiction book I started reading, like, before we went to the London Book Fair, because I know we were on the train, and I said to your mother, yeah, I'm reading the new Inspector Lindley. And this was when? Early April.
Yeah, mid-April.
Oh my God. And then I think a week after, I asked you, Mom, how are you going with the new Inspector Lindley? She said, yeah, I finished it. I said, how can you have finished it? And I've only just now finished it. It took forever. Oh my God. Talk about long-winded.
Yeah, I finished it a couple of weeks ago, I think. That was a long, long book.
But I really wanted to finish it, but now I can finally read Cheyenne Blue's new book, Code of Conduct in the World of Tennis. Finally,
how
I've been looking forward to it.
With, you know, the French Open just having finished and Wimbledon in 2 weeks.
I think the release date coincides with Wimbledon.
Highlights of tennis season.
There must be some lesbian book coming out about the World Cup.
Oh, yes.
Sometime soon.
Because that starts next week. The Football World Cup, soccer for you Americans. That's going to be exciting because Belgium is in it.
Yeah. I've marked all the Belgian matches in my calendar. We're playing against England as well. Well, ooh. I mean, we can say we identify with our team.
Yes. So that'll be exciting. Anyway.
I was going to say something, but I forgot.
Do you have a wisdom? A blisdom?
I did, but I forgot my blisdom.
Maybe it'll come back to you. Feel free to interject at any time if it comes back to you.
So let's move on to the topic of the week.
So for the topic of the week, we wanted to talk about Amazon. Because, you know, Amazon is very big for most indie authors and indie publishers.
And readers as well.
We buy
books exclusively from Amazon.
Yeah, mostly. I mean, it's true.
Because we read on Kindle and our Kindle account is linked to Amazon.com.
Yes. So it's very easy as a reader to, you know, buy your books on Amazon. If you read on Kindle, just click on you can buy it directly from your Kindle and it's on there immediately. I mean,
it's amazing.
It's a very, very smooth reader experience.
It's too smooth, really.
And also...
I mean, it's kind of too smooth, right? You buy so many books.
Yes,
well,
I know.
By you, I mean me.
Yes. But it also, I mean, Amazon has done, you know, very great things for indie authors, and we would not have the career we have today without Amazon, because if Amazon hadn't set up its KDP platform for self-publishing, I mean, HarperBliss would never exist.
That's
and,
true.
You know, we wouldn't be where we are today. But something happened last week that kind of, you know, made me realize some things. So we used to publish all our books through a distributor for many reasons, a distributor in the UK. Now, since we've moved back to Belgium, we've set up our own distribution company, and we are in the process of moving our books from their dashboard to KDP dashboard to our KDP dashboard.
We're almost
all the main ones have been done. Now there's only some smaller earners that are still left there, but it's a very time-consuming endeavor because we have many titles, and you know, if you're doing it, you want to make sure you update the book so that the back matter links are all correct and all of that. So it's a process that takes time, and we've done most of them, but not all of them yet. But last week we got an email from them to say that all of a sudden Amazon had terminated their account because of a so-called copyright issue, which they were sure they had not done anything wrong. I mean, they distribute books for many authors. They offer all kinds of services, but also distribution, and they distribute to all kinds of platforms. And they always, you know, check the copyright of the authors if there's any request. I mean, they don't do anything wrong, but Amazon had flagged some kind of copyright issue and had just, you know, had just terminated their account all of a sudden. So that meant the few books that we still have left through them, they were all gone from Amazon just like that from one day to the next. And for us, I mean, you know, luckily there were only a few books, but, you know, I'm sure for many other people, you know, who distribute all their books through them, that might have been a really, really big issue. And then we also had an issue with Amazon when we first published Once Upon a Princess. The reviews that were posted in the first day when it came out, all of a sudden they were gone as well, without a word of explanation. You know?
Plus, a lot of people had trouble posting their reviews.
So there were you know, like 10 or 12 reviews quite quickly, and then all of a sudden they were all
gone.
Which
is a bit stressful when you're just releasing a new book.
Also, Kindle Unlimited is also something that has, you know, brought a lot of opportunities to authors, and we use it, you know, especially when you launch a book. It's a good way to get people to notice your book. It gets a lot of visibility through it, and you can get new readers onto your book. But, you know, it has brought with it a big scamming industry.
Definitely.
I won't go into a lot of details, but there are things like, you know, people who stuff their books full of extra material so that they would get bigger payouts, since KU pays per page.
This is directly stealing from other people, right?
Yes.
So let me just give like an example.
Yes.
Well, no, I mean like a concrete money example. Like, you know, Once Upon a Princess, it's priced $8.99. So when someone buys it, we get, I don't know,
70% of $8.99.
70%. So how much is that? Six or something?
$6 more or less.
But when someone reads it in KU, I did a calculation. We get, you, when they read, because you paid by the page, by pages read, we get $1.4.
Yes.
That's a big difference, huh?
Yes.
Because I get a lot of email from people who say, yeah, I'm in KU, but I want to support you. How can I support you the most, by reading it in KU or by buying the book? I always say, I'm never going to say to someone, please buy it and not read it in KU. If you have a KU subscription, you're going to use it, because that's the whole point. But there is a big difference in earnings.
For the author.
Yes, but, you know, you can see it as the price you pay for... Sorry, the cat is a little bit crazy.
Yes.
It's the price you pay for extra visibility. I mean, look at Once Upon a Princess. It would never have done so well if it was not in KU. I'm fully aware of that.
No, you get paid less by book read, but way more people will read your book.
Yeah.
So, you know, and it will give it more visibility.
But, of course, when there are, you know, people who, like... stuff their books, scammers,
and then
they entice their readers to, like, you know, click through the whole thing, even though they've read the other books that are in it.
Yes, so that they
take away from the fund.
So we should explain that. So the authors who are in KU, how they get paid for the books that are read, Amazon sets this one fund per month. It's a fixed amount that then gets divided out between all the authors who are in KU according to how many pages are read.
Yeah.
So, but of course, if people are, for instance, they publish a book, but then they stuff it full of other stuff at the end and have their readers click all the way to the end, books that are then I think the maximum is 3,000 pages that you can have, and they make sure they make sure that their book is 3,000 pages. To illustrate, as an example, Once Upon a Princess, I think, is
368 Kindle pages, and that's 70,000 words. Huh?
Yes.
So these books that are 3,000 pages, they're like.
Yeah, but
how many words?
Yeah, well, but some people used to sell by using like double spaces between lines, for instance. But I think Amazon has cracked down on that. But now they just put all their other books at the back of their one book, and you know they just they have one link that sends people to the back of the book, and then people have read 3,000 pages, and they get paid between $12 and $15 per book read, which is almost ten times more than what you get. Which then takes away from the communal pot that gets divided, because of course people, you know, that's the only money there is, which is also one of the reasons probably why Amazon is not so good at, you know, fighting against this, because it's not their money. I mean, they set the pot, but they're not really, they set the pot, the amount, whether people scam or not, the amount will stay the same. So for them, it doesn't make a difference.
They just want Prime subscribers.
Yeah. So, there are, you know, other ways that have been, other scamming industries that have been going on with this KU, like review manipulations and all that kind of stuff. And Amazon does try and do something against it, but they do tend to kind of have a very wide sweep when they try and fight scamming. And they often, you know, there are people who haven't done anything wrong who get caught up in this kind of cleanup operation and have their accounts terminated, or a book unpublished, or reviews taken down.
Rank stripped.
Yeah, rank stripped.
Which can be pretty horrible.
All that kind of stuff when you haven't done anything wrong, and it's really hard to get explanations from Amazon as to why this has happened.
Because most of them are bots.
Yeah, when you contact Amazon, you get a standard reply, and it takes a really long time before you can actually get a real reply from a real person that really explains what happened.
Unless you have a rep, but that only happens when you sell like loads of books.
So
if you're in lesbian romance, you probably don't have a rep.
No.
But if you do, let me know. Introduce me.
Yeah. So I'm really sorry. The cat is going completely, completely crazy and running around.
It's Monday, yeah? She's busy.
Yes. So yeah, what happened with this distributor made me think, if we had still been with them for all our books and not, if we hadn't moved most of our books already to our account, this would have made a really big difference, because their account was terminated, I think, for just under a week, maybe 5-6 days. But, you know, this was a big amount of money that we wouldn't have made, sales lost during these days. I can't imagine what it did to other people who are all have their books with them. So
if this had happened last year, OMG.
Yeah, it would have been a disaster. That's why it made me think that Amazon is always going to be a very big part of our sales. And it's important to be on there, because you really do get visibility and a lot of people buy books there, and it's very important. But I think it's also important to try and develop sales on other platforms, the other retailer platforms, but also direct sales to readers, you know, people who buy the book directly from you, because not only do you make the most money as an author if you sell it direct, because
you don't have to give 30% away.
Yes. But I think it also creates a link with the reader, and I think in the genre that we publish in the lesfic genre, because it's a small genre where it's not that easy to actually make money. I think there are a lot of readers who would be happy to buy direct from authors and publishers, because they want to support the author or the publisher. You see that regularly as a question on Facebook and Facebook groups for lesbian books, for instance. You know, where can I like to buy from authors and publishers directly? Which ones have, which ones sell directly? And how can I buy a book that makes the most money for the author, that supports the author the best.
Are you talking about publishing 3.0?
Yes. apparently that's what it's called.
There is just this big blog post on the Ally
I haven't read it yet.
Because, the Ally at the London Book Fair was all publishing 3.0, but I was maybe a little bit disappointed with their presentation about it.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's still early days. But we have experimented with direct sales, but I must say I've not taking it further because it was a time constraint.
Yes, we tried it a few times with a new book.
Always so behind on my deadlines. I should put in some time for publishing 3.0.
Yeah, so we did with a couple of books that before they were on Amazon, they were for sale from us directly only for a few days. And there were quite a few people who booked it because they want the book as soon as possible. And if they have the opportunity to buy it direct, they will.
It was a good amount of people, a good number of people. I always get amount and number mixed up. Anyway, but as I said, this is just the beginning. If you can cultivate it and make people used to buying direct from you, I think you're going to have a huge advantage in the future.
Yes. But you do have to make the experience, you know, as smooth as possible, because of course buying on Amazon is very easy, like we said. So you have to make it easy for people to get the book on their device when they buy it from you, which is not always
easy. Convenience is a big thing.
I mean, there are software options now that make it, you know, easier for people to buy and get their books on their devices. But I mean, you have to make sure that they have a really good experience, because otherwise they're just going to go buy it on Amazon because it's
like
so much easier.
Not like we did last time we did this. Forgot to put the book live on BookFunnel.
Yes, that was my bad.
But we're learning.
Yes, so that's, you know, if you manage to make it a smooth buying process, I believe people will be willing to buy it from you. Of course, as I said, you still have to be on Amazon because that gives you visibility to, you know, a really wide audience and people who didn't know about you, who might get to know you on Amazon and who then might, you know, get on your mailing list and in future want to buy directly from you.
Yes, and also if you get people on your mailing list, you kind of already prime them for direct sales because, well, on my mailing list for sure, you get free books. And they are delivered not via Amazon. I mean, I do get the occasional email, please can you deliver this to my Kindle? I said, but I cannot do that. It's technically not possible. But, you know, if you use this way, it's going to be very easy.
Yes, there are ways to get it on your device
BookFunnel.
Yeah,
you know,
that's what we use.
BookFunnel is really great for that.
Yes, and if they subscribe to the mailing list, they get free books through BookFunnel. And then if they do buy direct, it's a completely same procedure and they know how to do it.
Yeah. But also the Alliance of Independent Authors, they've been talking a lot about Patreon as well. And they say, oh, more and more authors have set up Patreon pages and stuff like that. And I've been thinking about it a lot. I know Lindsay Bureaucher did it. The cat is now on the table.
Yes, if you see a tail and
she's
going to
drink my water.
Okay.
But I've been thinking about it and I had an idea, but I don't want to talk about it yet because I had it just before we started recording. But
we can talk about it in a future podcast. Maybe.
Yeah, I think it's difficult if you're a fiction author. How can you, I mean, a lot of podcasters have a Patreon page, for instance, you know, which, you know, you give people value.
Yeah, if the people, you know, support you by giving some money on Patreon, they get some bonus content that other people don't, for instance.
But as a fiction author, I don't know. But it's something to grow. But there's always like, you know, you always have to do the calculation in your head. Is it worth my time? And, you know, usually for me, it's not. But yeah.
It's worth maybe looking
but
into.
It's being hammered on so much these days, publishing 3.0, which is basically another word for multiple streams of income, which I do think is important. And I mean, we do have MyLessFic.
Yes.
Which is, you know, a very small chunk, but it's something. And
it's something that has the potential to grow into a bigger chunk as well.
Yes. So I do think that, you know, as you grow as an indie author, it is really worth looking into these things, which I will be doing. I shall put on my thinking cap.
Okay. She wears that a lot. A very big thinking cap. Not just because she has a big head.
No.
Okay.
Yeah, I think
think maybe we've gone on for long enough.
Have you made your point?
My point is that, yeah, you have to, I think it's important to
think
about having other venues of income than just Amazon, because Amazon, I mean, they're great, but they can also make your life really bad very quickly, even if you haven't done anything wrong, and they can compromise your income, you know, just like that.
Even though it's very seductive. KU is very seductive.
Yes. But it is dangerous to have all your eggs in one basket.
Yeah, I mean, it's so much easier to go to number one in lesbian romance if you're in KU. How many books go to number one that are not in KU?
Yeah, not a whole lot.
I haven't seen one in a long time.
So, yeah.
But, you know, that's just, you know, just need to not attach that much importance to that number one, I guess.
Yeah, no, but and also to see the long-term implications of, you know, being exclusive with one retailer, because you never know what can happen.
This is just one of these tricky questions.
You have to find the right balance. Yes, and it's something that's always evolving and that will never be set, you know, decided forever, because things always change so quickly that.
Yeah.
You know. Anyway, I think we've gone on for long enough.
Even the cat has settled down.
Yeah, she's settled down and she's taking a nap now. So that means
she's doing her sulky teenager pose on the windowsill.
So until next week.
Until next week.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Harper Bliss and Her Misses.
You can find all the episodes and show notes at harperblissandhermisses.com.
We also have a favor to ask.
If you could rate and review the podcast wherever you listen to it, that would help other people find us.
Thank you.